Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald, and today we are talking about the devotional I've titled, No Eternal Reward for Hypocrisy. After introducing the theme of practicing righteousness, and not doing so in a showy way, the first issue of piety that Christ deals with is almsgiving. Matthew 6:2, Jesus speaking, therefore, when you do a charitable good, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Almsgiving to the Jews was considered the height of personal piety. Jesus here rebukes the common practice of prominent Jews bringing great attention to themselves when they did some charitable good. They did not want any good deed to go unnoticed. Some think Jesus may be speaking metaphorically to emphasize that charitable giving is not to be publicized, which was indicative of the hypocrites. The Jews had chests in the temple, which resembled a trumpet, by which they received the offerings of the people. These chests were trumpet-shaped with a wide opening where the coins were put in and then narrowed to where they dropped into the chest. This was so that no one could stick their hand in and take the money. Some point out that hypocrites like to convert their gifts into the largest number of coins possible and then noisily toss their coins in a prolonged way into the trumpet-shaped coffer, thus drawing attention to what a great giver they were. The word hypocrites refers to a play actor, one who plays a role on the stage. A hypocrite is a player, an actor. He's a phony who pretends to be what he is not. Hypocrites who pretend to be all spiritual but are not, are especially offensive to God. In Matthew 23, Jesus condemns the scribes and the Pharisees in the harshest of terms because of their glaring hypocrisy. They were real religious, all right, but they were religious players. The worst. Jesus says those who put on a big hypocritical religious show have their reward. They want glory from men, and that moment of glory is all they will receive. They have no reward from God at all. It's all just a moment of fleeting human approval that doesn't last. There's nothing more to come. That's it. It's over just that quick. Get this point. God does not reward hypocrisy. There's no lasting reward for showboaters. John MacArthur says, quote, a man came into my office one Sunday and told me that it was his first time to worship with us and that he intended to make our church his church home. He then handed me a generous check with the promise that I would receive one just like it every week. I told him I did not want to receive checks personally and suggested that he give anonymously as the rest of the church family did. End of quote. I'm always amazed at how many ministries publicize their big givers. That ruins it. As we see in the text, the issue is motives. Sometimes charitable deeds can be hidden, but the motive should never be to draw attention to ourselves. That is the point. When Jesus says, when you do a charitable deed, he expects that his disciples would be doing these things. In 5:16, Jesus said, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. But note the emphasis. It is to be to the end that God is glorified, that God is promoted, not ourselves. The issue is this. Are we really promoting the cause of Christ, or does this amount to self-glorification? That's always the issue. When the motivation is that people take notice and give me some accolades, that is to the glory of self. There is no reward for self-glory. It's our own reward, which has no eternal reward. Howard Voss says, though the works may be good, when the motivation is wrong, we have no reward from our Father in heaven. The Chinese are known for emphasizing to their pastors, don't touch the girls, don't touch the gold, and don't touch the glory. That's good counsel. Don't be a glory robber, because all the glory belongs to God. Matthew 6:3 continues, but when you do a charitable good, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Jesus is making a point here. Don't be self-absorbed in your giving. Don't give it over attention. Don't be self-conscious about it. Of course you're going to be intellectually aware, but the point is, don't be self-focused on it. Keep selfism out of it. Let your giving be done inconspicuously. Don't make too much out of it, even in your own mind. Really, Jesus is using a form of hyperbole that implies absolute secrecy, as he goes on to emphasize in verse 4. The issue is that our giving is not to be mixed or be with mixed motives, but with pure motives that truly have God and God alone in view. Matthew 6:4 continues, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and that your Father who sees in secret himself will reward you openly. What we are in secret is what we really are before God, spiritually speaking. We still have the flesh, and it can't be trusted. The only way you can really trust your motives is to keep your piety between you and God. People want to be noticed. They want to be stroked, and indeed, we all need encouragement. But when it comes to giving, Jesus is emphasizing that it is to be a totally God-oriented thing. And the only way to ensure that is to do your giving in secret. The issue here is all about motives. Do I do it to be seen by people? That is pride. That is about self-glory. That makes it about self and not about God. Jesus says the key to proper giving is to do it in secret. Do it before God, your audience of one. God approves of giving that does it for him alone, for his glory. God sees in secret, and he will reward whatever is done in secret. Appropriately, this little piece is by an unknown author, and it's titled, Father, Where Shall I Work Today? Father, where shall I work today? And my love flowed warm and free. Then he pointed out a tiny spot and said, tend that for me. I answered quickly, oh no, not that. Why, no one would ever see. No matter how well my work was done, not that little place for me. And the word he spoke, it was not stern. He answered me tenderly, ah, little one, search that heart of thine. Art thou working for them or me? Nazareth was a little place, and so was Galilee. Again, author unknown, appropriately. When we are working for God, we don't need the recognition of man. God sees, he sees what is done in secret for his glory. You see, secret giving puts the focus on God because people are not involved. It ensures a God-centered focus. The enduring reward that really matters comes from God. What matters for all eternity is what God will say on Judgment Day. His is the only opinion that really counts in the end. Keeping track of it all is God. People can be so fickle, but not God. Live for God, give for God, be totally focused in all you're doing, all you're giving. This is what counts. A footnote here, by the way, is good from William MacDonald. He says, this passage should not be pressed to prohibit any gift that might be seen by others, since it is virtually impossible to make all one's contributions strictly anonymously. It simply condemns the blatant display of giving. End of quote. Exactly. The spirit of it is that our giving is to be done for God's glory, not for self-glory. And note the word openly is not found in the older manuscripts, but as you consider the whole counsel of God, his reward for faithful service is certainly going to be openly known in eternity. Again, MacArthur says, it is said that there was a special out-of-the-way place in the temple where shy, humble Jews could leave their gifts without being noticed. Another place nearby was provided for the shy poor who didn't want to be seen asking for help. Here they would come and take what they needed. The name of the place was the Chamber of the Silent. People gave and people were helped, but no one knew the identities of either group. But I would add, God knew, and the Father who sees in secret will himself reward each one. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald signing off for now.